The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now we concentrate on domestic politics. Sinn Féin's PR problems continue. The PAC put pressure on the children's hospital organisations, and Roderick O'Gorman was attacked while canvassing. Micheál Martin says he's not tetchy. So, for all the latest political news, I'm joined on the line by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with The Independent. Good morning, Fionnán.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about as much as we can, because charges will be brought. This is about the alleged assault on Roderick O'Gorman while on a canvas. Not a great development.
No, bad for our democracy when basically an elected representative can't go out and canvass door to door without being assaulted. So that's the serious nature of the incident that we're dealing with here on a more fundamental level, on a more practical level. A man is due in court today following this incident on Saturday. Roderick O'Gorman has said that it took the intervention of his Garda protection officer, who's assigned to him as a cabinet minister, to intervene and stop this incident and prompt the arrest and the charges that will follow today. So clearly it was of a sufficiently serious nature for a member of Garda Síochána Conor to step in. We can't send out a member of the Guards with every single candidate in the country. And Roderick O'Gorman has spoken as well about how he is repeatedly being targeted by people for abuse. This incident on a more serious level, even further. So, you know, I think unfortunately this is the start of what we're going to see a bit of during the course of this campaign. We don't know what the motivations of this individual were, but we were seeing in the local and European elections that canvassers from across the political spectrum, from Sinn Féin to Fine Gael, were being obstructed in going about their democratic duty by people who were deciding that they didn't want posters put up in an area, that they didn't want a particular neighbourhood being canvassed because they themselves were deciding what would happen in their neighbourhood.
Mm. The election is likely to be called at the end of this week, which will give us a date of November 29th, I presume?
Yeah, so we're waiting to see when exactly Simon Harris does this, because he's due in Budapest in the latter stages of this week for a meeting of the European political community, which includes the UK, and then an EU summit as well. So that'll take him out of the picture for a good chunk of Thursday and certainly Friday. So does he go on Wednesday? Does he go on early Thursday? Does he signal to the Dáil on Wednesday that he's going to dissolve and head up to the Áras on Thursday morning? If you want to do it in a kind of an orderly fashion, you would normally have the courtesy to at least notify the Dáil through a very, very brief statement, just to say, look, I'm going to the Áras. Best of luck to everybody. Mm. See you. And then he goes up and conducts his formal duties.
I have some recollection, and I meant to look it up this morning, of someone going almost in the dead of night to dissolve
Bertie,
the Dáil.
Bertie wasn't Ahern, it? Yeah, 2007. Bertie. But that was related to the proximity of opening statements at the Mahon Tribunal on a module featuring his personal finances, which were due the following day. So he did that on a Sunday morning in 2007. The Mahon Tribunal was due to sit on the Monday morning, and there was going to be some fairly damaging revelations come out that morning. And ultimately, that was then postponed because the Mahon Tribunal was basically pressurised by Fianna Fáil ministers coming out and saying, oh, this couldn't possibly go ahead now. It would interfere with the general election. So that was all related to that. A more orderly shutdown was done by Bertie Ahern in 2002. Mary Hanifin was sitting in the Dáil dealing with a fairly mundane private member's business issue being brought forward by a backbencher in the opposition when she said Bertie Ahern came in and sat in behind her and she thought something was wrong, and he just stood up and said, I'm going to dissolve the Dáil tomorrow. That was, you know, it was due, but it was out of the blue. Yeah. And then he proceeded to do so the following day. So normally, yeah, the Taoiseach has had ample opportunity here to plan this. It's not something sudden and unexpected. Leo Varadkar bounced into it 5 years ago by an imminent motion of no confidence in Simon Harris and he had to pull the trigger because that vote was going to fail in the Dáil. So he knows quite clearly what his diary is for the week. They're going to have the finance bill passed on Tuesday. So any time from Tuesday night onwards, we can have the election called.
Okay, now, the election being called, will that stop the activities of the PAC? Because they want to talk to the Children's Hospital organisers, and they've indicated that they can't make a this week appointment, but rather they'd be available later in the month. But if there's a campaign underway, will Mairead Farrell, who's the new chairman of the PAC, will she be able to hold sessions, and will people turn up for those sessions? I mean, the politicians, if they're busy on the canvas.
No, I mean, the Dáil will be dissolved, and the PAC is unique in that it is a committee of the Dáil. You have to be a TD to be a member of it. So once the Dáil is dissolved, the PAC is dissolved. There's no question of it continuing on. So
the suspicion might be that the people who are not politically unaware in the Children's Hospital might be saying, well, if we can delay this by a week, we're home free until a new government is formed.
Yeah, and that argument would be put forward by them, that, you know, this has landed on them, and that they need time to put papers together. I mean, I think we saw during the RTE hearings last year, it's not that hard for people to come in and answer a few questions. The Children's Hospital Board have had recent appearances before Oireachtas committees, so one would have to question if this was not on the regular scheduled agenda for the PAC, why is it coming in now? But it
would
it
you
looks
be suspicious
like
that Mairead Farrell be trying to make a bit of a name for herself the new committee chair?
She has a short time to make any bit of an impact at all. I mean, she's only going to be chair for two meetings before the committee is effectively shut down. So, you know, you're obviously going to pick the issue that you feel can make the most impact. And she is correct in this case. It looking across the board at where public expenditure is going, the expenditure on the Children's Hospital is by far and away the most alarming to the public. So I wouldn't criticise her for picking this particular project for examination.
But she may not get her moment in the sun on this one if the timings don't suit the development board.
They were there on October the 16th. So, I mean, the question mark is, you know, why do you want them back so far and so quickly? And what's new? And why did you not flag previously then that you wanted them to come back so quick?
Now, the embarrassment for Sinn Féin on the, I suppose, the sexual front continues.
Yeah, child protection issues. We have to caveat this one, but this is quite different to previous cases. We've got the Belfast City Councillor, JJ McGee. So he's been suspended from Sinn Féin.
Without prejudice.
Without prejudice. Receipt of an allegation of inappropriate online messages being exchanged between him and a minor. So this has now gone to the Social Services and the PSNI in Northern Ireland. And also, the party whip has been removed from him, and the chief executive of Belfast City Council has been notified about the decision. The difference here is Councillor McGee is vehemently and categorically denying any wrongdoing on his part. He has a legal firm representing him. He's saying he's already put forward a 12,000-word, 38-page rebuttal of this complaint. And where it differs from the Sinn Féin perspective is they have actually gone by the book this time. They have actually notified the authority of which he is a member, being Belfast City Council, which they did not do in the case of Senator Niall O'Donnell. So it looks like some lessons have been learned on the Sinn Féin part. But we have to say, in fairness to Councillor McGee, unlike the previous child protection cases we have seen in Sinn Féin, and on this occasion, he's absolutely denying any wrongdoing in his part.
Yeah, you have to be careful with all of these things because, you know, the cases, for example, of a priest accused of wrongdoing who was subsequently, you know, suspended by the parish and then subsequently vindicated, very hard to restore the good name of that person.
Yeah, and it is, this is a very... It's obviously a very serious allegation, and hence it should be treated as such. The councillor is saying that he didn't notify the party of the issue, because he said there was no substance to complaint, and that it was malicious, selective, and so on. So, you know, we have to let the investigation play out. But unlike the previous two cases in the child protection area, where we saw a former party press officer plead guilty in court, and we saw a former party senator resign from the party and resign his position in the Oireachtas due to sending inappropriate text messages. In both those cases, there was an admission of some form of wrongdoing, albeit on different scales. In this case, decidedly different. But what we are seeing this time around is Sinn Féin is changing its approach. It has finally learnt the lesson that you can't hide these things away.
And finally, and briefly, if you know, do you find Micheál Martin to be tetchy?
Yeah, he has his moments, you'd have to say. There's always been a bit of the street fighter in Micheál Martin. You know, kind of the Chicago way. You go at him with a knife, he comes at you with a gun. But in this case, he seems to be kind of portrayed as a grumpy old man by Fine Gael. People in Fine Gael are quite happy to point out that, well, he's a TD since Simon Harris was a toddler, so there's a substantial age gap. And Simon Harris is coming along with all his new energy, and it's opposed to old Micheál and old Fianna Fáil. So, no, I mean, Micheál is not naturally tetchy. He's obviously in the conduct of government business. He is forthright in his questioning of proposals that comes before government. But clearly he's unimpressed by the manner in which Fine Gael are trying to suggest that, you know, he's a little bit over the hill. He gets a bit annoyed about stuff. You can see that, you know, Micheál is kind of behaving like a bit of an old veteran junior B hurler coming on at the end of a match now, looking to pick a fight with someone. He's claiming dramatic changes in terms of approach to housing. He's saying that his policy perspective is different. He's describing himself as a politician of substance, not of soundbite. So you can quite clearly,
you know, who he's getting at there.
Parallels are being drawn there. There's a difficulty here for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. They're trying to go into this election as a coherent unit to be returned, but not as a collective with any bargaining chip between them. They're trying to go in through it as in individuals, and yet at the same time they want transfers from each other to secure final seats in constituencies. So you are seeing these kind of personality spats that are going to break out between them over the course of the next 3 weeks.
Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.